Well, good evening. Well, welcome to Christchurch Innermost Evening to our carol service. We'll sing some carols, we'll have a few readings from the Bible, and we'll have a chance to look at one of the passages a little bit more closely. It'll be a slightly shorter sermon than usual, and so hopefully we'll be done around about 7 o'clock. And I believe there will be mince pies and tea and coffee after the service. Or at least juice and biscuits. We'll find out at the end, but please do hang about if you can. On Wednesday, we've got a prayer meeting, 7:30, to which all are welcome. And then at the weekend, on Saturday, Christmas Eve, we've got a Christmas Eve service at 6 o'clock. And then next Sunday, Christmas Day, at 11. And there won't be an evening service next Sunday or Christmas Day. It's all to mention, so let me read from God's Word, the call to worship from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through to verse 8, where Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." We're going to stand and sing together our first carol of this evening, at Silent Night. There'll be a short introduction, and then we'll stand and sing together.
Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this Christmas season, as we come together, isn't it wonderful that we can meet like this? And Father, we thank you that we have the security here, Lord. We thank you that we can come together and praise your name. But Lord, most of all, we think about other parts of the world, where brothers and sisters have the fear of meeting like this tonight. Lord, we should never take this for granted. Father, we bring them before you. We know as they meet in secret, Lord, they're maybe feared of those being persecuted, thrown into prison, beaten up, because they love you. Father, we thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you're here to shine a path for us in the right direction. Lord, this Christmas season, we ask again that all those who come through the door will hear the gospel message. Thank you for James tonight, Lord, and as he looks into the more depth of the shepherds, Lord, we just ask that you give him the right words to say. Again, Father, thank you for David this morning. And again, Lord, we just thank you that the work is opened in this church faithfully and the gospel is preached. And Father, we thank you for our neighbours around the corner here. And Lord, again, the door is open, the lights are on. And we keep praying, Lord, that others will come in to hear the wonderful message. And at this Christmas time, Lord, we know the churches are usually busy, but Lord, they know the real meaning of Christmas. Let us proclaim it from this church, from this pulpit. Lord, as we come again and bow before you, we think of those who are suffering in the church. Pain, illness, operations, recovering from operations. Lord, we thank you that we can bring them all before you. And the good thing about it, Lord, that you know them all by name. And Lord, we thank you again that you're here with us tonight. And as we praise your name, sing these carols and Bible readings, we ask, Lord, you'll give us your blessing. So, Father, go with us now, keep us safe, keep us strong. But most of all, Lord, come into our hearts to just build us up again, that we can give that message to others that you are the light of the world. So, Father, thank you now, and ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
And we're going to sing again. Harry's just doing squats in front of you. We're going to sing this time, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And again, we'll stand after a short introduction.
While he lays his glory high, for now
invite William to come up, and William's going to put a first reading for us.
I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod for his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you very much, William. We're going to sing, again, this time we're going to sing a psalm, Psalm 98, first six verses, a psalm that speaks of the Lord's salvation, and that is made known to all people, and that's exactly what we celebrate each Christmas, as God sending His Son, our Saviour, the one who, through, we receive salvation. We celebrate that each Christmas, and so we're going to sing this psalm together just now, and again we'll stand after a short introduction.
Took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
So much less. We're going to sing again. This time we're going to sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, the sweetest songs employ, on fields and streams, and hills and sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation through. The glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, the wonders of his love.
And our final reading of this evening is from Luke's account of the Gospel, Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 8 through to verse 20. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered and what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. We thank God for his word and for all the events we know that hear from it. See that we're going to think a little bit more about that one we just read there. And before we do that, let me lead us in a short prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we can join together this evening, that we can come and hear your word read, that we can pray together, that we can sing praises to you. Thank you just now for this privilege to look at your word together. And we ask that as we do so, that you will help us to see your Son for who he is, that he is the promised Savior who came into this world to redeem us, to buy us back, to give his life in our place, that we might enjoy life through him. We pray you'd help us this evening. Give us eyes to see the Lord Jesus as our Savior. As we pray this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. And as most of you know, I'm from Preston Pans and I help out at a youth group each week in Preston Pans, which can be a handful at times, but it's a lot of fun. And we asked some of the young folk a week or so ago if they met someone who had never heard anything about Christmas, how would they explain it to them? What would be their explanation of what it is and that Christmas is really all about? And you can maybe imagine there was a few interesting responses, but there were some good ones as well. Some talking about all their family and time together, and some talking about Jesus, that it's actually all about Jesus coming into this world. And one of my favourite responses was one of the boys said that Christmas is about peace and love, man. Said it a bit more cooler than me, but I mean, it was funny, but at the same time, it's actually not far off what Christmas is about. Out of love, God sent his son into this world in order to bring about peace between man and God. So in a sense, it definitely is about peace and love. I wonder if you were asked that question, how would you explain what Christmas is all about? And of course, there's obviously slightly different ways we can answer that question. But the one thing that has to be consistent in all the answers is that Jesus Christ has to be at the centre of it. And so, in the next few minutes, as we think about some of these verses together, at the very least, I hope we'll leave being able to give a good response to the question of what is Christmas all about. I'm going to get an answer from the Bible, from these verses in Luke's account. And in particular, we're going to think about the words that the angels spoke to the shepherds in verses 10 and 11. Luke tells us in the opening verses of chapter 1 of his account that the aim of his gospel, the aim that he has as he writes all these things down, that he wants to give his readers certainty in terms of the events that were surrounding Jesus. He's recorded his account with historical accuracy, and everything that we read in it is to be trusted. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit as he wrote it down, making it the very word of the living God. And so from what the angels say, there's three key thing that I want to focus on and speak about what Christmas is all about. Firstly, in verse 10, we see there that Christmas is about good news. The first thing that the angel says to the shepherds is that they're not to be afraid because they bring good news. I imagine being one of those shepherds on the hillside that evening tending your sheep, as you often do as a shepherd, and nothing out of the ordinary really ever happens. But then this one night out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord really shines all around. And although it sounds like an amazing image, an incredible image, it must have been at the same time a terrifying experience. Out of nowhere, this angel just appearing, completely unexpected, something they had never seen before. Of course they were filled with great fear. They had no idea what was going on. They had no idea what was going to happen next. But then the angel speaks, telling them that they have no need to be afraid, because the angel is here to bring them good news. That probably brought a sense of relief to the shepherds. But what makes the message they had, the shepherd, the angel had, what makes it such good news? I wonder if you were asked the question of what is the best news you've ever received, what your response to that question would be. For some of us, maybe it would be thinking back to getting exam results and then being good news. I'm not sure if we all experienced that to be good news, but I certainly never. Mum can vouch for that. Maybe finding out that you got the job that you applied for, I brought you incredibly good news. It made you happy realizing that you've got it. Or even the news that you're having a baby. A lot of people are so excited by that kind of news. There's so many different things in our lives that speak of good news to us. But the one thing that is absolutely key to making good news really good news is that it has to directly affect us. For example, if someone in America that I didn't know would never meet and got good grades in their exams and ran on the road to me to tell me, I mean, I might be pleased for them, but it's not going to have any effect on me. It's not overly good news to me. Someone got a job that I never knew. Again, I'd be pleased for them. But unless it was me or unless it was someone close to me, I'm not really going to be that fussed about it. A fundamental part of good news, being good news, is it has to directly affect us. And so this good news that is brought to the shepherds wasn't just for the shepherds, but we read that it's for everyone. The angel says that it's for all the people. This news they bring is good for everyone. But what exactly is this good news? Well, in verse 11, the angel says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It's easy to read over that verse and to miss just how profound it really is. Whenever you hear of someone having a baby and you're telling people about it, you say something like, "Did you hear that Andrew and Lisa had their baby?" You may go into some details about the gender or the weight of the baby, but you always say who it is that's had the baby, that this baby has been born to them. But here, as the angel tells these shepherds of the good news, they say such an odd thing. Mary has just given birth to a baby boy in the town of Bethlehem, which is close to where these shepherds were. And the angel goes to the shepherds and doesn't say that Mary has had a baby, but instead the angel says, "Unto you is born this day." This is good news for the shepherds because unto them a Savior had been born. And this is fundamental to what Christmas is all about. It's not just that we remember a baby being born, but that we remember the birth of a Savior who was born unto us, unto each of us. If this same angel appeared to us this evening here in Christchurch, Edinburgh, the message would be the same. They would say, "Unto you a Savior was born." Jesus was born for all people, whatever your gender, your age, your background, whatever awful things you might have done in your life, Jesus Christ was born unto you. Christmas is about the good news that unto you a Savior has been born. And the second thing here is that this good news brings great joy. Christmas is about great joy. The angel here could have just said that they bring good news that will bring joy, but they said good news of great joy. And why is this good news bringing great joy? I wonder what you think of when you try and think of something that has brought you great joy in the past. For me, on Tuesday I had my last exam until next year. And I can tell you that walking out of that exam had brought me great joy. That feeling might change when results come, but at present I'm filled with great joy. A big part of that is because I knew the date of my last exam. I was looking forward to that date coming so that it was over. When it finally arrived, I was so glad. And I think when we've waited for something, when that thing eventually happens, it adds to the joy that we experience. And that's an aspect of what's going on here, of what made this joy so great. You see, the people of Israel had been waiting for centuries for this news, for God to send a Savior into their midst. And many had probably lost faith. Many were probably doubting that God would keep his promise of sending a Savior because it had been so long. But God always keeps his promises. And these angels, they deliver the good news to the shepherds that unto them the promised Savior has been born. The long awaited Savior is now here. The waiting is over. Now it is time to rejoice. Christmas is about a Savior being born unto you. Christmas is about God keeping his promise and sending that Savior. And then thirdly here, Christmas is about the Savior bringing hope. Christmas is rooted in the reality that Jesus was born to be our Savior. But for anyone to be a Savior, they have to save us from something. If someone was about to get hit by a bus, but you push them out of the way, then they might call you their Savior. But in that situation, it was only that one person that you saved. You wouldn't be anyone else's Savior. Whereas the angel here is clear in other verses that the Savior who has been born is for all people. So that means that two things have to be true. Firstly, all people must have some kind of problem they need saved from. And secondly, this Savior that's been born must be able to provide a solution to this problem. So what is the problem that we all share that caused God to send the Son into this world? Well, quite simply, the problem is sin. Sin when we refuse to live under God's rule, refusing to submit to him, and instead, in a sense, we rip him off the throne and seek to rule our own lives. Sin is a rejection of God, where we live to please ourselves. And the Bible teaches that we've all sinned, and the sin carries severe consequences. If you are here this morning, David reminded us, ever since Adam sinned in the garden, death has reigned. That all of that, that death is the wages of sin. This death is eternal separation from the living God. It means we live this life separated from him, but also when we die, we don't go to be with him. We're separated for eternity in hell. I don't mean to be all doom and gloom, it's Christmas time, but this is the reality that everyone is faced with. But of course, I just said that this third point here is that Christmas is about the Savior who brings hope. And so, how does Jesus bring hope to each of us? How does he provide a solution to the problem we have of sin? We ourselves are unable to do anything about it. And we are spiritually dead, we are sinful by nature, we are in need of being saved. And Jesus Christ is the one who willingly chooses to become the Saviour of all who trust in Him. Although we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, we do so knowing that this little baby, who is God Himself, who took on flesh, we do so knowing that He will go on to live a life that is free from sin. That He will one day walk to a Roman cross to be humiliated, to be brutally killed, suffering unimaginable pain. And as He was sinless, He was innocent, not deserving of death. But He would choose to take our sins upon Himself, to deal with the punishment that we deserve, so that in Him and through Him we can be forgiven. And He would then rise to new life on the third day. And as He rose to life, through Him, we can now walk in newness of life, where we enter into a personal relationship with the living God, where we no longer need to live life in fear of death, but can look forward, in a sense, to death, knowing that through Jesus, through our Saviour, we'll all be welcome into God's kingdom for eternity. Not because of anything that we've done, not because we deserve it, but because Jesus Christ has saved us from what our sins deserve. This is what the shepherds came to know to be true. They knew that this child was born unto them, bringing great joy, for He would be the one who would take away their sins. And we read on that all who heard from the shepherds about what they had seen, they wondered at it. See, the shepherds didn't keep this good news of great joy to themselves. They told others about it. Because as he read, it's for all people. And that's a great privilege that those of us who have had our sins forgiven by our Saviour also have. We're able to go and to speak of this good news. Able to tell others that there is a Saviour. There is one who has made a way for us to come into a relationship with the living God. And so if you haven't placed your trust in Jesus for forgiveness, then this evening, I encourage you to do just that this Christmas. To consider who He is. To consider the claims of the Bible that He is the Saviour that God sent into this world. It's a decision that no one who has made has ever regretted. But if you do trust in the Lord Jesus, then do you delight in speaking of your Saviour? Do you delight in telling others of what you've come to know to be true? What you've come to know to be good news that is great joy? Or do you keep it to yourself and avoid speaking about it? Do you avoid taking opportunities? Christmas time is a time where we often get more chances than usual to speak of our faith, to speak of the incredible hope, the truths of the gospel. And as God's people, are we excited to share our faith with others? Christmas is about the good news that unto you is born a Saviour. Christmas brings great joy as we remember God keeping His promise and sending a Saviour into this world. And Christmas is about the Saviour who brings hope to the hopeless. He has been born unto you. He has died for you that you may live. May we each know and trust in this good news of great joy. Christmas season. Let's pray to God. Father God, we thank you that you saw us in our helplessness, you saw us in our sin, and while we were still sinners, you sent your Son into this world, that He was born unto us, he came and fulfilled the promise of the Old Testament that he would send a Saviour to deliver your people. We thank that he did just that, that he lived a life free from sin, that he died in the place of sinners, and that he rose triumphant over the grave. We ask that you help us to know this to be true, that you would make this true to each of us here this evening. Would you give us eyes to see the Lord Jesus as our Saviour? Would you grant us the faith to place our trust in Him and in Him alone, that we may be forgiven, that we may experience your salvation, and that we might journey through this life each day, no matter what we are facing, knowing that we have an incredible hope for the future that nothing in this life can take away. We thank you that once you give us the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus, that nothing can remove us from the Lamb's book of life. Help us this Christmas season to be people who trust in the Lord Jesus, in the Saviour who was born unto us. We pray this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish our time this evening by singing another carol. This time we're going to sing together, "Well, Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night."
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Enough, said he, for mighty dread has seized their troubled mind. Let tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's stoutest state is born of David's line. A Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly maid there shall find to new and pure display, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands and in a manger lay. A spake the seraph and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, address their joyful song. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from them to men begin and never cease.
May the God of peace, people again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.